Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Pendlin, coming to you live on Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. As always, I am joined by Ben Gorwitz, who is definitely watching the Braves right now, but we are live regardless. Ben, say what's up to the people, man.
I am indeed watching the Braves. I'm good. It's been a while since I've done a podcast with you, and you know, nice break. And when you texted me, do you want to go through some NFL topics? And I'm ready for it. So, good to kind of speak with you again on a podcast.
I know it has been a while, Ben. Podcast has definitely missed you. Just been talking a little NBA, and I think we did an MLB preview as well in your absence, but it's almost time, guys. The NFL draft's next week, so we're about to talk some NFL draft for y'all, give y'all a little top 10 mock, breakout players, quarterbacks, basically all the good stuff that y'all want to hear about. Before we get into it, though, real quick, Ben, I was doing some thinking today, and you know what I thought about?
What's up?
Think about how crazy this is to sit here now, this far removed from it. Arguably, in my opinion, probably top three most hyped up college basketball teams we ever watched play was the Zion Williamson Duke team back in, I believe that was 2019 is when that team was playing. And it's just crazy to kind of look and see how these guys panned out in the NBA. I mean, Cam Reddish is on his third team now in 4 years of being in the league. RJ Barrett, I mean, is like the third option on the Knicks. And I mean, look, he's not a scrub, but he definitely didn't pan out to be what he was ought to be. And last but not least, I'm not ready to call Zion a bust, but safe to say Zion has been arguably one of the most disappointing NBA players you've ever seen. Are you shocked to kind of see how this has all played out, Ben?
I would say I'm the least shocked with Reddish. Because fair. I mean, I have a decent amount of Duke fans, and he was always described as like the good shooter that isn't shooting well. And it was like, okay, is he ever going to break out of it? And he did a couple of games at Duke. He shot the ball really well, but I remember the Hawks drafting him, and you know, obviously you could always use shooters. And I like reminded myself in text of one of my Duke friends is like, he's not that good of a shooter. Right. And you look at his college numbers, didn't shoot the ball as well as he was supposed to. So I guess I'm the least shocked about him because just like his game didn't like pop off the screen watching tape and watching him in college as much as his like shooting stroke. You know what I mean? He was a shooter more than just like, you know, a guy that can get to the hole really well and shoot. He was just a shooter. Zion is obviously the biggest shock, but at the same time, we have always, since we've known Zion, forget the high school days. Since he stepped foot on campus at Duke, we've always been concerned about his weight. And I'm not saying we as in you and I, like he's a large human being and simple gravity. He goes up, all of his body weight's coming down. And eventually that is a lot on your knees and on your back and on your joints. It's a lot. And, you know, then he had the foot injury. Then there was weird issues with the Pelicans. Like, you're cleared to play, but he wasn't playing. My biggest problem with Zion is, listen, if the team's not clearing you to play, nobody can argue that. Those are team doctors. Those people absolutely know what they're doing. My problem is he's not cleared to play, and he's doing 360 dunks in warmups. You do a 360 dunk in warmup, you can play 10 minutes in an NBA game. I don't care what anyone says. Mm-hmm. You can do it. You can jog up and down the court in the NBA. So, you know, there's that. The RJ Barrett, I'm a little shocked. RJ Barrett was like their go-to guy at the end of game for Duke. If they need a guy to get the bucket, it was always in RJ Barrett's hands to make the play. So I guess I'm a little shocked with that. But at the same time, it's not like the Knicks, when they drafted him, now they've done better up until that point. It's not like they have done a tremendous job with developing players to the point when they had drafted RJ Barrett. Now they've done great with Quickly, mm-hmm. and they've done great with, I guess it's just Quickly. I'm not giving them credit for making Brunson. Brunson was already good in the Mavericks.
Yeah.
There's someone else the Knicks have who I would give them credit for. I'm just blanking on it. So yeah, I'm pretty shocked that all three of them haven't turned out, you know, as good as we thought they'd be, but mm-hmm. definitely not Reddish.
Yeah, no, I mean, Reddish isn't as much of a surprise, but Zion and RJ definitely expected more from them. I don't know. I don't know what made me randomly think of that, but I thought it'd just be something interesting to talk about since me and you like college basketball so much. But anyway, let's get into what everybody's really here for, Ben. Let's talk about some football. Me and Ben are going to start things off here with our mock draft. We're doing the first 10 picks. These are trades. Keep in mind, this is if we were the GMs drafting the teams. I do realize that this is probably not the way the draft is going to go. This is just if me or Ben was the general manager of each team, this is the way we would go. With no further, let's get things started, Ben. The Carolina Panthers are on the clock. GM Ben Gorwitz is on the clock. Ben, who are you taking here and why?
Taking Bryce. Bryce Young, obviously. They think he's the best quarterback in the draft. Think he's one of the best overall players in this draft. Listen, the concern about his size, listen, is it valid? I mean, yeah. I mean, his height is his height. He was born with that. I mean, if he could click a button and make himself 6'2", maybe he'd do it, maybe he wouldn't. But, you know, he went to Mater Dei High School, which is one of the most famous and one of the best, you know, powerhouses. Yeah. He dominated football. He then went to the University of Alabama, an absolute powerhouse in college football. He dominated college football from his very first game. And I feel like he knows how to use his size and his body and what mobility he needs to do enough. And it's just that I think one of his greatest traits is adaptability. He's been able to adapt to every scenario he's been able to do. Now, maybe in the NFL, he won't be able to be under center as often.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't go under center as often as they used to anyway. I think he's the best player in this draft. The Panthers need a quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback available.
Typical Alabama. I'm just kidding. I have the exact same pick here as Ben does. Going Bryce Young. I'm not going to add too much more. I just want to say this, guys. Bryce Young threw for over 3,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, only had 5 interceptions. And me and Ben probably talked every single week about how we thought the wide receiver core was weak. Somebody needed to step up. The fact that he's able to put those numbers up without them just speaks volumes. This guy's the best quarterback in the draft class. Me and Ben talked about it all season long. This guy is the best quarterback in college football last year. Bryce Young is going number one overall.
It's, you know what's kind of weird about Bryce Young, or it's not weird, it's more of a compliment. Mm-hmm. Most of his comparisons aren't to other quarterbacks.
Really?
The main comparison I've heard is Steph Curry. He plays like a point guard, is what everyone says.
Yeah, he kind of does, though, in the way that he's good at, like he likes to get out of the pocket and look for people downfield. He doesn't like to get out of the pocket and go try to run for 30 yards. You know, he'd rather throw it 30 yards than run for 30 yards. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I actually like that comparison a lot.
Todd McShay has said it over and over. He's Steph Curry on a football field.
I like that. That's definitely untraditional, but that's a great comparison right there, and definitely not bad to get compared to one of the best players at his sport. Next up, number two, we got the Houston Texans on the clock. Like I said, trades are allowed. If I'm the Texans GM, I'm keeping the pick. Texans quarterback room is abysmal. I'm taking CJ Stroud here in this spot. CJ Stroud showed me what I needed to see from him in that game against Georgia. That was by far the best opponent that he faced the entire time of him playing college football. He played the best game he's played after he played a simple stinker. And me and Bim talked about how we thought he was terrible. I mean, not terrible, but me and Bim thought that he choked in big games and he would be average. CJ Stroud's a big quarterback. He can throw it outside the numbers. He can get the ball to your guys. He's smart. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's athletic. I think he's a great pick as a quarterback, and I think he's definitely going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I'll take CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I think the Texans obviously are a team that they need more help than just the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the Panthers with the number one overall pick, which obviously they had already traded for. I would also go CJ Stroud. I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's levels better than the other quarterbacks available. So if I'm the Texans, I'm going with a quarterback, and the best available on the board is CJ Stroud.
Yeah. We'll say just real quick, guys, the betting odds do say Will Levis is probably going to go number two overall, but like I said, this is our draft. So we're taking CJ Stroud. Me and Ben are aligned. I think we're about to have a little shakeup here at number three. I have not seen Ben's mock draft. I just know he has at least one trade in it. He knows I have a couple trades in it as well. Ben, you're the Arizona Cardinals. You're on the clock here at number three. What happens?
Yeah, I have them making a trade. And the team I have stepping up in the trade is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
The Raiders have had a really interesting couple of off seasons, but they're under new management pretty much from top to bottom. I mean, I think McDaniels is going into year two as a coach for them.
Yeah.
But their GM is fairly new as well. I think it's his second year. I think he came with McDaniels. They're trying to get out with the old with all the picks that was it Mayock? Was that his name? Gruden made. They just got rid of Derek Carr. Who is their quarterback as of right now?
Jimmy G
and Stidham? Yeah. I knew they had a veteran. So Jimmy G, I think, obviously is the perfect starter. You know how much I like Jimmy G. I think they go with someone I consider to be a project. I think Anthony Richardson would go third overall if the Las Vegas Raiders trade up to get this pick. Okay. You can sit him for at least a year. I'm not really sure how long Jimmy G's contract is. I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting Richardson for at least 1 or 2 years. I just think he needs a lot of work. I think he needs his arm accuracy needs to improve a tremendous amount. I think his knowledge of the game, he only played like 13 games in college. I think reading an NFL defense, they do more disguises. Edge rushers are quicker. He can kind of run away from guys in college. You may not be able to do that as much in the NFL. Now, it might be hard to tackle him because he's so big. But I think this would be a pretty good – I think it'd be a good spot for the Raiders if they did trade up for the third pick to get Richardson and sit him behind a guy like Jimmy G.
I like where your head's at, Ben. I definitely think Richardson, I mean, we talked about him a bunch. We'll talk about him again here in a little bit. I think Richardson's definitely a very raw product, and I think he needs some developing. So sitting behind Jimmy G would be a great way for him to learn. So I do have a trade here with the Cardinals. I have the Tennessee Titans trading up to number three, and I have them drafting Will Levis. In return, they're sending their first overall pick, which is the 11th pick, a second-round pick, and this season, and then they're sending a 2024 first round pick. Here's the interesting part I want to add in here real quick before I discuss why I have them taking Will Levis. Think about this, Ben. So the Cardinals want to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. What if let's say there's a bidding war here, because I think there's going to be a bidding war between the Colts, Raiders, Titans, maybe the Vikings, other teams trying to trade up and take this number three overall pick. Look, I think the Cardinals are in a win-now position. I think the Titans want to win now as well. Let's say the Cardinals send over DeAndre Hopkins and Jeffrey Simmons comes back over from the Titans as like the little deal sweetener here. Therefore, the Cardinals are getting a stud defensive player and they're able to draft a wide receiver to replace DeAndre Hopkins with that 11th overall pick. What do you think about the trade?
The only problem is, didn't they just sign Simmons to a huge deal?
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, both guys have big contracts, so I'd look to the money, probably would match up. But, I mean, that part of it's probably unrealistic. But
I agree that I think the Titans should be aggressive in this draft.
Yeah, so I got the Titans trading up. I have them taking Will Levis. Just when I look at the way the Titans run offense, I think Will Levis is a bigger guy. They have an outdoor stadium. I think he can throw the ball outside the numbers there. I'm actually not as high on Will Levis as I know that that other teams are. I just think with the way the Titans play football, that drafting Will Levis here makes the most sense for them. So that's the way I went with this pick.
We already know what he looks like in blue, too.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's kind of close to Kentucky. Maybe you can draw in a little of that Kentucky fanship, sell some extra tickets. On the board at number four here, we have the Indianapolis Colts. I just revealed that I thought the Colts would be interested in trading up. I think the Colts are going to sit here and say, damn, we just lost out on the quarterbacks that we like. Instead, they're going to pick up the phone and call the Ravens and say, our team's already pretty good. You send us Lamar Jackson, we'll send you our first-round pick and this year's second-round pick, along with next year's second- or third-round pick. And the Ravens use this pick to select Anthony Richardson, the perfect running quarterback project to replace Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley gets to hold the reins for a couple years. But ultimately, you have a college offense guy with Todd Monken who can work with Anthony Richardson here. You can use a lot of the same things you did with Lamar and run the same kind of offense as that you ran with putting Anthony Richardson in there. Obviously, like I said, I don't think he's ready to go right off the rip, but good thing you have Tyler Huntley who can help him out and kind of you can kind of learn from him as well, so you won't have to change the entire offense around when you put in the running quarterback. What do you think about that, Ben?
I mean, it would fit the mold of how the Ravens have drafted. Obviously, you know, I think there was a lot of people skeptical of when they drafted Lamar. I mean, he went late first round. It wasn't like insanely early, but people didn't think he could play. And then in what, year two, he won the MVP. And then Lamar Jackson, it has always been very much like, whether it's the media or whoever, have very much been a move the goalpost type of, by the way, Sam Hilliard just absolutely robbed Manny Machado. Everyone's always moving the goalpost on Lamar, right? It's always he's a running back. Okay, well, then he won MVP. Well, then it's keep him in the pocket because he's not a good thrower. Well, his QBR from within the pocket's like top five in the NFL, right? Now it's he's not worth all the guaranteed money he's asking. Well, what is it with Lamar? Because he's a phenomenal quarterback. I think it's the same for Anthony Richardson starting his career, right? Can the guy throw at – can he be accurate? Is he more of a running type of quarterback? He's going to have to answer a lot of questions. And I think with his upside, he can answer a lot of those questions. But then there's always going to be something more with Richardson. That's just how I see his early career playing out. I think he's going to have to doubt a lot of naysayers. And I think Lamar was that. And John Harbaugh can work with Richardson in terms of a mental side and work him through that. He's been through it with Lamar. So I don't hate that at all. I have the Colts staying. Okay. At least for now at four. And then just taking Will Levis.
Okay.
I think they know that. I think part of me just thinks the Colts don't necessarily love a guy outside of maybe Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're fine. I think they can think the three other guys would work. And so I think they're good with just taking whoever it is. And you know what? Levis is getting a lot of hype, so I decided to look more into it. Like, you know, his college tape, it is what it is. When he had Wandell Robinson, who's obviously in the NFL, he was great. Yeah. And then when he didn't really have much talent around him this past year, he wasn't as good. You're obviously playing with better guys in the NFL. So I think Levis can be better from the jump compared to a Anthony Richardson. But I think both are a work in progress regardless.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. I mean, I'll give you my analysis of Levis a little later on. Definitely don't hate the pick there. I could see the Colts hanging on to it because they definitely are going to take a quarterback. I honestly just wanted to shake it up and make it kind of fun too. Number five here, the Seahawks. I think we're both going to agree on this one. They're going to take the best defensive player on the board, in my opinion, Will Anderson. I mean, this guy's an absolute game wrecker. This guy has future top five in sacks. I mean, all pro, Pro Bowl, all of it written all over him. Ever since this guy stepped on the field at Alabama, we couldn't believe he was a freshman. All me and Ben have done is rant on him. Ben even thought he might be able to win Heisman as a defensive player. That's how good this guy is. Will Anderson is a game wrecker, and he deserves – I mean, let's be honest. If these teams weren't chasing quarterbacks, he could probably go number one overall. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I have it a little different. Just slightly different. I think the Seahawks are going to go Jalen Carter. I think you can make an argument. He's one of the best defensive players in this draft as well. I mean, he was a game wrecker. He was really good when he played next to Jordan Davis, and then he was even better without Jordan Davis when he was on the field. He had a little bit of injuries his last year at Georgia, but the guy's phenomenal against the run. He just like feels like a Seahawks pick to me. I'm not really sure if I could explain that. Just like a guy up the gut, just a ferocious guy. I have Jalen Carter going to the Seahawks at five.
Don't hate that at all, because I actually, with the sixth overall pick, the Lions will be on the clock, and that's who I had the Lions taking there with Jalen Carter. The reason why I did that, basically, I mean, obviously, if he's not there, they will take Will Anderson gladly, but the way I looked at it is that you're gonna pair Aiden Hutchinson with a game wrecker on the inside. I can't think of the other pass rusher's name that they have, but they had another defensive lineman who's already a game wrecker. You get two guys on there, this will probably be the best defensive line in football and help the Lions build the team the way they want to. This Lions team's trying to stack up now on the defensive side of the football. They already have a good offense with weapons. This would be the last piece to put everything together, and there's no better way to do it than take the best interior pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah, so I just flip-flopped them. I had Will Anderson Jr. here. Like, I mean, they might already have two defensive ends. Three guys rushing the passer, it's not something we've seen that's that uncommon. Will can also play outside linebacker, just kind of stand up and rush the passer that way. So, yeah, I have Will Anderson Jr. going to the Lions right there.
Like it. Me and Ben are basically both aligned so far throughout this mock draft. Ben, you had the Raiders trading up from seven. So now at this point, you have the Cardinals on the clock. What are they doing?
Yeah, so they just lost the cornerback. I think it's the perfect time to replace the cornerback. Plus, Buda Baker kind of wants out, and he's your Mr. Everything on defense. My opinion, the best corner in this draft, Christian Gonzalez. This guy was amazing in college. You just turn on the tape, you're going to see two things. Either teams are refusing to throw to his side of the field, or he's probably – getting an interception on the quarterback. This guy was a stud. I think it's a perfect replacement for the Cardinals defense after losing. I'm blanking on the corner that they just lost, but they didn't replace him in free agency. So I think this is the perfect time to replace him.
Ben, same player going to the original team. I got the Raiders taking Christian Gonzalez. All the reasons you said, this guy's an absolute stud. He deserves to go in the top 10 best corner from college football. He's going to be a beast in the NFL. Ben, our Falcons are on the clock. I have the vanilla Falcons pick here. Ben has a complicated one. Give it to us.
So I have the Falcons trading back, just a few picks back. This is where I have the Titans coming into play. And in my head, I think the Titans are going to be like the Colts and all those Raiders. Like you, I think they're going to try to get an earlier pick, no doubt. But maybe they're not successful. I have the Raiders maybe putting up a better offer to get that Cardinals pick. So I have the Titans coming in here. I have the Titans going Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think what we've seen, at least what I've seen, is like when the Jets took Garrett Wilson, like he's a guy that you thought would make an impact right away, and he absolutely did. And then the Saints ended up taking Olave. Where they thought they traded up for Olave, where they thought he should have been selected, and he made an impact. Why not take the Ohio State guy that those guys say were better than him? And I know that he had a complicated year his last year at Ohio State, but the year before that, he put up the greatest wide receiver game I have ever seen in my entire life in that Rose Bowl. This guy is a sensational talent. And I think that Tannehill is just going to get the one. I think he's just going to be the Titans quarterback for one more year. I really just believe that. I think the Titans might try to get like a Hendon Hooker later in the draft. Yeah, he's going to sit out for a year, but guess what? Tannehill's still there. So I think you go with the offensive impact player you could see right away, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I like Smith and Jigba a lot. I wish the Falcons were taking him at this point. With the Falcons pick, like I said, I have the vanilla pick. I got the Falcons taking Tyree Wilson, edge from Texas Tech. The Falcons have been stacking up the defensive side of the football. I think they're going to keep playing like that and keep going for the defensive side of the football. I know he signed Calais Campbell. I know he brought in other guys as well on the defensive line, whether it's David Amanyata. I mean, just to name another name right there from the Saints, he was the other big signing, a D tackle. Still have Lorenzo Carter and Grady Jarrett, but I just feel like that rotating in there, the extra edge will be huge. I mean, if you look at the Falcons, man, we really never have a good pass rush like this. This is the best defensive line the Falcons have had. Let's keep it building. I mean, Calais Campbell's only a one-year piece. Let the veteran teach the young guy how to play defense. This guy's a freak of nature. He's got a big wingspan. He has potential to be a game-wrecking pass rusher. No better way for him to learn than from this guy right here. Also, too, like, I remember we had Dwight Freeney that year with Vic Beasley when we actually had a good pass rush, and he kind of taught Vic Beasley some moves and whatnot. Why not run the same thing back, Ben? Let's do it.
Yeah, and I also forgot to mention the Titans did do the same thing I just had them do this year.
Uh-huh.
They did it last year with the Arkansas wide receiver. I think you do it again. I if I'm a GM and you're eventually going to start over with a quarterback, which I think the Titans are eventually going to do after Tannehill, have the weapons in place for him there, right?
Yeah.
That's why I think they should go with that. So that's my point of view if I'm the Titans.
I like, yeah, I definitely think the Titans need wide receivers. I mean, Derrick Henry's only getting older. Treylon Burks starting to come into his own a little bit more. So I definitely think it's a good idea. They need something. Coming in here at number 9, we have the Bears via the trade with the Panthers, which was a legit trade, not a me and Ben made up trade. Ben, what are you doing here?
Taking the guy that's right up the road from them, Peter Skoronczyk. First of all, if they do anything except draft an offensive lineman, Justin Fields should demand a trade immediately, because it just tells me that they don't know what's going on. It shows me there is so much proof that your quarterback can't succeed if you can't block for him. Justin Fields ran for his life last year. Sometimes he got out of the pocket. A lot of the time he got destroyed. I think you can go either way. There's two offensive linemen that both deserve to be in the top 10, Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State and Peter Skoronczyk. I think the familiarity with the Chicago area is like a fake reality that people kind of buy into. But Peter Skoronczyk was one of the best offensive linemen the last 2 years in college football out of Northwestern. He's already home. Just keep him in Chicago.
Ben, could have said it better myself because I have the exact same pick coming in here. Man, it makes too much sense. Like you said, Justin Fields got to request the trade, man, if they don't end up doing it. I can't do anything else here.
You could do Paris Johnson here. He would fit just as well.
Yeah, I mean they definitely like Paris Johnson, but yeah, no, I'm sending it. Give it to me.
Like if I'm the Bears, I'd rather take Skoronczyk, who's more known to be on the inside of the offensive line, and then try to sign like a he might want to play for a contending team, but I would try to get like a Taylor Lewan.
It's not a bad call either. That'd be a great offensive line if you pair those two guys together. Last pick up here at number 11. So we're only doing top 10, but I do want to hear who Ben thinks the Falcons should draft. I have the Texans taking the guy you said earlier, JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think there's no better way to do it than pair him with his college quarterback and CJ Stroud, get him a familiar target, go ahead and build and let these guys keep on getting more familiar and keep making connections. I mean, Ben, we just watched Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave finish top 3, both one win and the other one finished third for rookie of the year. Offensive rookie of the year, at least. They said Jackson Smith and Jigba is better than them. What are we doing here? Jackson Smith's going.
Yeah. You said you wanted to hear my Falcons pick. Well, here's my Falcons pick, because I have the Eagles trading back just a few spots to bring the Falcons back up here to have the 10th pick in this draft and still getting the guy that I think that I've read and that you said is it should be or could be the number one on their board. So I would have the Falcons taking Tyree Wilson at 10 as well.
Okay, shoot, I would love if we could trade back and do that. Yeah, I forgot to mention, by the way.
And I don't think the Falcons would get, like, so much from going from 8 to then, in my mind, it would be, like, 8 to, like, 11 and then 11 back to 10. I don't think you're swapping much. But, like, the Eagles don't really need much in return, right? Like, I mean, that's just how I see it could happen. I had a little fun with it, and that's what I decided to do.
Yeah, definitely like that. I feel like it'd be, you know, like, let's say you get to trade back. We get, like, an extra second-round pick. Like, let's say you have to switch picks and give them a fourth-round pick. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you there on that one, Ben. Let's, now that we're done with that, let's talk QBs here. Obviously, we both already ranted on Bryce Young. I know we both have him number one on our big board. So, let's go ahead and just skip over Bryce Young, since we feel like we talked about him enough over the years. Ben, I assume you're on the same page as me here. You got CJ Stroud at number 2?
I do.
Do you think we need to go into detail on him, or do you think we've done it enough times?
I mean, I think we've done it enough. The only, like, what do you think could be the negative that some people might see that Will Levis would have over Stroud? That's what I haven't really connected those dots.
I think what people see in Will Levis over CJ Stroud is the fact that Will Levis, when that he was in, you know, like, so he was a high pedigree guy. He went to Penn State, didn't pan out, ended up transferring over to Kentucky. So his first year he was there, they brought over the passing game coordinator from the Rams to be their offensive coordinator. And when he had an actual, like, NFL's pro style offense, he absolutely tore it up and looked great. Now, I think that they also like his athleticism. I think they think he's more athletic than Stroud is. Because, I mean, Will Levis ran the ball a ton when he was in college. And everyone says that he just has that zip when the ball, like, comes off his hand differently. So I think they just, like, look at the two guys and they look very similar. Like, both guys are big, athletic quarterbacks. I think they just think Will Levis is just bigger and more athletic. And I think they think he translates to the NFL more. Like, he reminds them of Josh Allen, who they've given the comparison all year long that we don't see.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess that's it. Could be it.
Yeah, exactly. So we both have Stroud going there. Number three, I think, is where it gets a little dicey. Ben, who you got as your third best quarterback in this class?
I got Will Levis. I think for the reasons you said, I think he's less of a project than Anthony Richardson. And that's just why I would have him third. I think he's more ready to go than Richardson and whoever else I have fifth.
Yeah, so as y'all know, I love the project QBs. I think they're going to plan out every single time. So I have to go with Anthony Richardson here. Look, I wanted to put Anthony Richardson higher, but then I was like, I just think that might be a little stupid here. I have to save myself some credibility in case I'm wrong here with Anthony Richardson, but I really do think this guy has everything. I don't know if y'all remember all the way back to our pre-college football first last podcast we did before the season started. I said my most absurd take would be Anthony Richardson's going to win Heisman. I've been overly high on this guy, even as a Florida State fan, his entire career. I just think he has all the intangibles and he's just waiting to put it all together. I think in this draft, he's going to be able to go to the team that is going to be able to bring the best out of him. And I think all those things are going to make Anthony Richardson the best possible quarterback he can be in the NFL. I don't think he's going to start right away, but I think this guy's already an athletic freak. I mean, he literally showed as the season went on that he was getting better and better every single game. I think he's going to keep doing that in the NFL. And ultimately, I think Anthony Richardson is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when it's all said and done. Not of all time, but like in his time of playing.
I got Richardson four.
Okay.
I mean, I don't feel like I don't need to add much to it. I think those are everyone's top four in the order could be different.
Yeah, I think that's everyone's top four. I have Will Levis coming in at number four. Oh, look. I have Will Levis at number four. I will say this, though. I am worried that Will Levis is going to get drafted by the Texans. Things aren't going to pan out well for him. And Hendon Hooker is going to fall to like the Vikings or let's say the Titans. Or, I mean, who even what? Who's the other team too that everyone's speculating looking for? Yeah, the
Raiders.
Raiders. Like, I feel like that Hendon Hooker could just end up being kind of like how Dak Prescott is, where he gets drafted the right situation, he gets thrown in with an opportunity to play, and he never looks back after that. The things though that do worry me, and the main reason why I can't just use that as a reason to put Hendon Hooker in here over Will Levis is someone pointed out, look. On Twitter, there it was like since 2018, there was like six quarterbacks that have had a touchdown to interception ratio. Hendon Hooker did it twice the last 2 years, but at the same time, Hendon Hooker doesn't call audibles on the field. He, and on top of doing that, he's throwing the easiest routes because he's just throwing go routes, underneath routes, short routes. He's in one of the most easy offenses for a quarterback to run in all of college football. I mean, he could just be like Bryce Petty, Mason Rudolph, one of those guys, and just being overlooked. You guys also like 25 years old. But I mean, look at Kenny Pickett. We said the same thing about Kenny Pickett and look how he's panned out. So I'm going to go under that he's somewhere in between Pickett and those guys that I just named, and he's going to get drafted in the right situation and be good. But there is a very good chance that it's one of those things is true.
Well, it's kind of just Hendon Hooker by default, right? Unless Tanner McKee from Stanford was a former, I think he was like the top quarterback out of high school in his class,
He
Tanner
was.
McKee. I mean, Davis Mills hasn't really done all that much as a Stanford quarterback with a big arm. That's kind of what McKee is. He doesn't really move. I mean, I dare someone to throw out Dorian Thompson-Robinson's name, I'll laugh in your face. There's just the quarterback class after that. It's just it's kind of just by default, unless I'm just missing some guy that I can't think of. I think you could maybe make the case for Stetson. But I'm not going. I mean, I'm not going to as the fifth best prospect. So I would do Hendon Hooker by kind of default.
Yeah, I would go Hendon Hooker as well by default. All the reasons are laid out right there. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to run the last segment here where we're going to talk about the playmakers that we think have potential to win Rookie of the Year. Okay, guys, after our quick break, we are back for the final part. Me and Ben are about to talk about our offensive guys that we think have a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year outside of the quarterbacks, obviously, because, I mean, everybody's just going to say Bryce Young, but what's the fun in hearing about that? Let's hear about the other guys. Ben, I think we're both going to have the same guy, so I'm going to go ahead and start off with him first. Go with Bijan Robinson. I think the Eagles are 150% going to draft Bijan Robinson with that first pick they have. I think a lot of these teams, it's going to get to the point where that they, you know, I've been hearing a lot of draft guys talking. They say basically these teams grade players by where they think they should go. Everybody's got Bijan Robinson as a first-round talent. I think he's going to go quick. That's why I think the Eagles are going to go ahead and pounce on him, and I think he's going to be an absolute monster. Him and Jalen Hurts in the same backfield together isn't fair. I mean, you watched it. Ben watched this guy. We bragged on him a ton in the podcast. This guy is a freak of nature. He's probably the best running back prospect I can remember coming out since like Adrian Peterson, Leonard Fournette. Like, he's as good as any of those guys. I mean, he's probably going to be better than Fournette was in the NFL. Bijan Robinson's going to be an offensive game changer. That's who I got.
I actually don't have him on my list, but I do think he could be an impact guy.
Wow.
Okay. The only reason is just, you know, the running back position, it's almost like it's just an. Isaiah Pacheco, I had never heard of Isaiah Pacheco before this year, and he was an impact player on the Chiefs. So, like, the running back position can just literally be anyone. So I didn't pick any running backs. I had five guys on my list. Bryce Young was one of them. I took him off. We've already talked about him enough. The first guy I'm going to go with is the only homer pick that I have here. I think if the Falcons draft Tyree Wilson, I think he can be the guy. I think the Falcons, if they can figure out ways to get more pressure on the quarterback, their defense really isn't that bad. They're going to try a new guy if they get Tyree Wilson, and that's who I would draft, as we already did in our mock draft. So I'm going to go Tyree Wilson. I think if he can have anywhere between 7 to 10 sacks, I think that is considered an impact player.
I like that pick, Ben. I'll defer to you, Ben. You want to give us another one?
Yeah. I'll give my other defensive guy, then I'll do the offensive guys I have next. This is a guy that played with some of the most talent we saw in college football, and he was all over the field in every big game he played in, and that's Nolan Smith from Georgia. I think he's the type of guy that could go anywhere from like 10 to 20 range. And I think he can go to a team that doesn't necessarily need him to shine on the defense for them to have success. I think they will already have, you know, guys that have been in the NFL. And I think he can win a lot of one-on-ones. He's strong. He's got good speed off the edge. He just did it all for Georgia. He plays with such a high intelligence and a motor that you just don't see in everyone. I think Nolan Smith can really have an impact.
I like that pick, Ben. I've actually even seen rumors saying the Falcons might draft him, that he's flying down the board. I went all offensive with mine, so I do apologize for that. If y'all want to hear something different, I'm going to go, though, with a little tight end combo here. I'm going to go Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer. I think both these guys, I mean, look, like, when you look at Washington, he's more of a blocker, so I just don't think he'll win Rookie of the Year for that reason. But when I look at Kincaid, I mean, Kincaid in that first game they played against USC, guy had 13 catches. His back got hurt towards the end of the season, but this guy is an absolute game changer. Like, when I look at him, I see almost like Gronk-like comparisons, not necessarily with the running people over and the blocking, but just his ability to get the ball in space, make people miss and run. I mean, this guy's one of the best tight end prospects, I think, to come out in a long time. This guy's going to be a first-round pick, and he's going to go to on the back half where he goes into an offense that he's just going to help win. And it's the exact same thing with Michael Mayer, too. Michael Mayer is just an absolute stud, and he's going to be good for all the exact same reasons. He's going to be the back end of the first round where he goes into a high-powered offense. Imagine if Kansas City takes one of these guys and says, yeah, we're going to stash you behind Kelce for a year or two where you can learn. And then once Kelce's burnt out, they just unleash them. That would just not even be fair, which is honestly what I hope Kansas City does.
I think the Cowboys are a pretty obvious team to maybe grab a impact player tight end with Dalton Schultz leaving. I'm going to go a guy that you fell in love with, Quentin Johnson. I think Quentin Johnson is one of the better wide receiver guys in this draft. I'd probably have him as my two or three. He is an absolute giant of a human being with a vertical leap. I don't remember what he had in the combine, but this guy's 50-50 ball catch radius in college at TCU was better than most people that I have seen in a long time. It seemed like Duggan, when he was in trouble, could just throw it up. And Quentin Johnson, if it was one-on-one, he was finding a way to bring it down. Speed is off the charts. He was also one of TCU's biggest threats down the field. I think he can really make an impact right away for someone.
I like that pick a lot. My next one, I went a little – obviously, I think Jackson Smith's going to be good. You just gave one of the wide receivers, so I'm not going to – I was going to give him, but I'm not going to because you already said all the good stuff. I'm going to go with a running back here. I'm going to go Tajay Spears, running back from why am I drawing
Tulane.
A blank? Yeah, Tulane. We watched this guy in the bowl game absolutely destroy USC. He's small, he's shifty, he's fast. And this guy's like Darren Sproles 2.0. Got almost like he's literally honestly the next Darren Sproles in the NFL. This guy's small. He's going to be able to get lost behind like offensive linemen, just pop out from nowhere and just be gone to the races. I don't think he's going to have a long career in the NFL, but I think he's going to have an effective one while he's at playing at his best. I think Tajay Spears is the type of guy that can come in and be that third down back in an offense and put up a lot of usage. I think he can really be, you know, like Eckler, Devontae Freeman on any kind of running, like a running back like that. He's a multi-threat catching the ball and running it. I like Tajay Spears a lot.
Hey, Connor, you said Sproles. Devontae Freeman came to mind for me, but another guy who, you know, maybe he hasn't been a great pro, and I'm not saying Spears can't be, just like the style of play is what I'm talking about, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, listen, CEH played with probably the most talent we have ever seen on an NFL or on a college football roster, and he did a lot of damage at LSU. Just because he hasn't been great in the pros doesn't mean someone compared to him doesn't, you know, can't be as well. I just think I think they kind of remind me of each other. I don't hate that pick at all. He was phenomenal. Tulane, who had obviously a historic year. My last impact player is another receiver. I went just, you know, with a couple of receivers just because I feel like we've seen receivers be more impactful to teams, right? We've seen a guy who has this type of route running ability and size and speed get drafted pretty high in recent drafts. Zay Flowers,
okay,
Boston College. This is a guy that you just turn on the tape and your jaw is going to be on the ground. It's like this guy went to Boston College and did what?
Yep.
You know, Dabo Sweeney talked very high of him when Clemson played him. Mack Brown talked very high of him when North Carolina played him. A lot of scouts around the country, you just turn on the tape, and I really think your jaws could be on the floor. His route running ability is really, really nice. He's got good hands. I think he can even be – I don't remember if he did it necessarily in college. I think he could do, like, punt returns and stuff like that. I think he can make impacts in multiple ways. I think Zay Flowers could be really, really good.
Yeah, as an ACC guy, I watched a lot more Boston College than I'm proud of, but this guy played on awful teams, and there would just literally be the quarterbacks just chucking him up, and he would not even be in the picture, and all of a sudden he would just run under it and catch the ball and make everybody miss and just throw up the pieces. He's gone. Like, this guy is a game changer. He's a dog. Last guy for me, I'm going with Devin Achane from Texas A&M. This guy's a track runner. He's extremely fast. I think this guy can be a three down back in the NFL. I think he can be your typical.
He can do kick returns too.
I think this guy can really be like just an absolute weapon in your offense. It reminds me a lot, honestly, of Alvin Kamara. I think that's a good like player for him to translate as. I think he's the kind of guy who can do everything for a team in the NFL. I like Devin Achane a lot and think he's, I think he'll be off the board on the second day.
Alabama couldn't figure him out, I'll say that.
Yeah. Any other players left on there for you, Ben?
No, I didn't include anyone else for now.
Yeah, I will say, guys, it's a deep class at wide receiver, at running back. It's an okay class at wide receiver. It's a deep class at tight end. It's going to be fun to see where everybody goes. Ben, I don't know if we'll hop on here again before the draft. Is there anything else you want to say about it before we get up out of here?
I'd say that the theme of this draft is it's just okay. I feel like the quarterbacks are just okay outside of maybe one or two, or at least they're unknown. I think the running backs are deep, but nobody really drafts running backs. The wide receivers aren't as big impact names as we've had in the past. It'd be interesting draft.
For sure. I think we're going to see a run on quarterbacks early. And I think in the like third round, fourth round, there's going to be a run on running backs as well, where a couple, two teams in a row go back to back on them. And then we just see them start flying off the board at that point. But no, I'm with you on that one, Ben. I think that it is really is just like a, I think it's a very top heavy draft. I think there's a couple studs. And I mean, it is weird though, too, you know, because like JSN didn't play. So I feel like people are forgetting how good this guy really is.
Who gets a better grade? The Giants for giving them the deal, for giving Daniel Jones the deal that he got, or the Eagles for giving Jalen Hurts the deal that he got?
That's
or
tough.
neither or neither.
That's tough. But I mean, I feel like the Eagles are smart for going ahead and giving it to Jalen Hurts, because if he plays better, these contracts only going to go ahead and go up. So why not go ahead and give him the contract, you know? But at the same time, yeah, you know, I'm going with Jalen Hurts for sure. What about you?
I would go with Jalen Hurts because I think eventually the offensive coordinator with Daniel Jones is going to leave. And I just believe in Jalen a little bit more overall than Daniel Jones. I think with Jalen's leadership ability, even if he's not playing well, I think he could just get other guys to step up through motivation or whatever he does. But literally everyone loves that man from the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you don't love Jalen Hurts. The guy's awesome. One of the best stories in sports. Ben, it has been a pleasure as always, man. I'm excited to see where everyone ends up getting picked and what our Falcons do in the draft.
Please don't screw it up.
Just don't screw it up, guys. Easier said than done. That being said, guys, we are going to go ahead and get up out of here. As always, we appreciate everyone who tuned in. We will be back on here once again talking about the draft after it happens. I'll probably do an NBA podcast at some point next week once we see our second round matchups. As always, we'll talk to y'all soon.